Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name number 682, is Mahayagya. There's one more name in this verse, verse 72. There are two more names to be discussed by myself from this verse, which one is Mahayagya and the next one is Mahahavi. So obviously these names are very much related to the names which have just come before, Mahakratu and Mahayajva. The name Mahayagya is explained in the Moksha Dharma, which is part of the Mahabharata. We're very grateful to the acharyas who have done so much research in the Shastra to find all these means. Just imagine, you have to find out meanings of all these different names, searching through all the Shruti, and that means the Vedas, with the Sanghitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas, Upanishads, and the Mahabharata, Ramayana, and for those who are in the Bhagavatam, so they have quotations have been given from the Bhagavatam, and for those who are in the Tengalai section of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, especially from that section of that Sampradaya, they quote the Divya Prabandham. So they encyclopedic knowledge. It means like having an encyclopedia in your mind, so that you can find all these references. It's not so small, even from the scholarly point of view, it's not a small thing to be a commentator on the Shastra. What to speak of the devotional understanding, or even if one's a Mayavadi, still it requires a tremendous scholarship. We don't recommend being a Mayavadi, but it does require a lot of scholarship, which in the modern day, who is there? There are still some scholars here and there. So anyway, quoting from the Moksha Dharma, Ya kriya samprayukta syure kanta gata buddhibihi ta sarva shirasa deva pratigrahnati vaisvayam. Here in the translation is given chanting the holy names, which is not mentioned in the original Sanskrit, but in the next verse which is quoted it is mentioned. So in that way, this idea of making a literal translation, it often doesn't work, because often, in other words, literal translation might literally follow the meaning of the words, but it doesn't follow the actual intention of the words. Therefore, the explanation given of the verses is often called the bhavart. Means the intent that we could translate bhavart in probably hundreds of ways, but it could be translated as the intended meaning. So the translation given here, if with undeviating concentration, ekanta gata buddhibi, is translated here as undeviating concentration, one chants the holy names of the Lord and performs similar devotional activities, then Lord Krishna becomes greatly pleased. He respectfully accepts such services and places them upon his head. He's so pleased with service, he puts on his head. We have to approach the lotus feet of the Lord. There's no such idea in Western culture that you don't put your hand on the head of a superior. You have to put your hand at the feet of the superior. And to place something upon the head means to show high respect. We say with the with the mantra for accepting Charanamrita. Ashesha klesha nishesha karnam shesha. Ashesha klesha nishesha karnam. Shuddha bhaktidam. Vishnu padotakam pitva. After drinking that water from the lotus feet of Vishnu, shirasadharayamiham. It's from his feet, therefore I take with great respect and put it on my head. So it's symbolic of putting on the head. But Krishna in himself accepts service. That's his feeling, because he feels my devotees are more than me. Then the next verse, japyenaiva cha sangshuddhid brahmano natra sangshaya kuryad anyan nava kuryan maitro brahmana uchyate. Translation given here is, a Brahmana or a Vaishnava should chant the holy names of Lord Krishna and in this way become purified of all material contamination. One who enthusiastically accepts this process of chanting Lord Krishna's names and rejects the fruitive rituals enjoined in the Vedas is the best of all Brahmanas. So this explains what is the greatest sacrifice. In English we have the word sacrifice, which doesn't really correspond to yajna. The word yajna is there in Sanskrit. The concept of sacrifice is there in all religious systems all over the world. When the Europeans went to South America, they discovered South America. The very idea that they discovered it is really xenophobic. In other words, the fact that people were living there but they weren't Europeans means they weren't really humans. So the Europeans discovered them living there, and they discovered that they performed sacrifices, including human sacrifice. So that idea is there all over the world. In the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, it's mentioned that God wanted Abraham, the patriarch of Jewish, Christian, and Islamic religious processes, he wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son, his own son. It was a big test for Abraham. So the idea of sacrifice is to offer something that is very dear to you. And this idea comes of animal killing. This idea at Eid, the Muslims, they have to kill one animal. The idea is it should be, because people used to live with animals. They'd have their own, their cows and their camels in the desert more than cows. So one that's very dear to you, your best camel or whatever, you kill it and offer it to God. Is the idea of something very dear to you. That's why, I did live in Bangladesh for quite some time, and on the Eid day, in public, you wouldn't want to go out. The first time I was there, I went out, but after that I never went out on that day, because everywhere's cow slaughter going on in public, cows and bulls. But the idea, the bulls and cows, they come from India actually. They're smuggled over the border in huge numbers. Somehow the Indian border patrols don't notice thousands and thousands of cows being taken over the border. And then a major selling point is how nice is the cow or bull, how beautiful it looks. And the one who's selling will point out, you get a high price for a very nice, because the idea should be very beautiful, and then you kill, because it's dear to you. Some very, very strange idea. God, if it's dear to you, then you offer it to God, and God likes blood and all this kind of. That idea is there. It's deeply entrenched in the human psyche, the idea of blood sacrifices. The idea of giving something dear to yourself, well, what could be more dear to yourself than yourself? And therefore we have Atma Samarpan. In the nine processes of bhakti, the ultimate is giving, offering yourself. And the very that word Bali is used in the sense of offering an animal in sacrifice, Bali Dham, giving an animal. But Bali, he offered him his very self to Vamana. So he is the personification or the ideal example of self-sacrifice. He gave everything. He gave all. He gave all his possessions, which if Chaitanya Chandra had to give all his possessions, what would there be? A few old pieces of cloth and not much else. But in the case of Bali Maharaj, it was the whole universe. He gave everything. Like that. Yeah, okay. You want to take? All right, take it. Against the advice of his guru, sarvasvam vishnave datva murkam vartishyate katam. Shukra said to Bali that, you fool, if you give everything to Vishnu, how are you going to live? And he was thinking, how am I going to live? Because he's maintaining me. You fool. So he called him that. And then Vamana was chastising. Hey, you rascal! You said you'd give me 3 steps of land, but you only—I covered all your possessions in only 2. You don't have enough to give me. What are you doing? You're talking big things, telling me don't take only 2 steps of land, don't take only 3 steps of land. You can't even give 3 steps of land. Okay, Garuda, tie him up. He's a rascal. Tie him up. And then Bali said, well, I only got 1 thing left, and that's me. My demons, they identify with the body. So then Bali put his 3rd step on his head. He gave himself fully. So that's the sacrifice. That's the sense of self-sacrifice. Not that... Well, in the sacrifice we offer into the fire. Idam Narayanaya Namama. This is for Narayan, not for me. But then, what do we keep for ourselves? We're offering some things into the fire, but not everything. Although we do find in the case of kings like Prithu Maharaj and Yudhishthira, they just gave every. The brahmanas, okay, you take everything. Prithu Maharaj owns the whole earth in the sacrifice, give it all to the brahmanas. I said, okay, thanks very much. Actually, we're brahmanas, we don't need all this. You take it back. Okay. It's like a ritual. In the marriage, Kashi Yatra. Actually, this marriage, it's all maya. You should just give it all up. Take sannyas and go to Kashi. Okay. Wait a minute. I think you should come back. Okay. It's a ritual. What if someone said, well, actually, I think it's a good idea. I'm going, oh! That the demons might have thought with Bali Maharaj that they might have thought that, yeah, he's saying you'll give it all. You know, a king talks like that. Yes, yes, we have to give everything to the brahmanas. Yeah, that's the way kings talk, but you're not really going to do it. He really did it, and he gave himself also. So that's the idea, giving ourselves fully to Krishna. Of course, as far as yagyas are concerned, anyway, the process of yagya doesn't work very well in this age. The ritualistic process doesn't work. The spirit of giving oneself should be there, but the ritualistic process doesn't work. Because we don't have brahmanas who are fit for pronouncing the mantras properly. There's so many considerations. We don't have pure ghee. We have ghee from foreign cows. Oh. Can't offer that. So... It doesn't work properly. But there, so what to do in Kali Yuga? Krite yadhayato vishnam tretayo yajjato murka. Dvapare paricharyayam kalo tadhari kirtanat. In Kali Yuga, what was possible by meditation in the Satya Yuga, what was possible by sacrifices in the Treta Yuga, what was possible in the Dwarpa Yuga by paricharya, by personal service, that means deity worship, is possible by Hari Kirtan in Kali Yuga. So all of these are very good. Meditating upon Vishnu is very good, but we're not good. That's the problem. We're not good enough to do it. Our mind is not controlled. Sacrifices are very good, but we don't have the wherewithal. In Kali Yuga, people tend to be poverty stricken. It requires much money to much wealth, not much wealth. Just like this area we're living in, people are supposed to be well-to-do, be from coffee cultivation. But where's the actual wealth? Wealth means dhanyavan dhanavan, gavayan dhanavan. Who's got grains and cows, that's considered wealthy, not coffee beans. And wealth means that a wealthy man, even up to a short time ago, wealthy man means they have so many servants. Nowadays people hardly, they can't afford servants. You see these photographs, the British, they used to take photographs in India. And you see even the ordinary people, even the bungies, they'd have all gold on their bodies. And even the rich people today, they hardly have that. Now it's become a common thing, artificial gold. I was recently in Bangladesh and we go to these programs and all the women come. They got all this jewelry on, all gold, and you know, it must be imitation. They can't afford that. They're all this imitation gold. So the idea is there, but there's still, they have the idea. I think the modern girls in cities like Bangalore, they don't put any ornaments on, not even plastic bangles. Prabhupada noted in one purport that the women today, they wear glass bangles, but they don't even wear that now. So people have no wealth. So how can they perform yajna? And then paricharya means performing personal menial service to the Lord. That's in deity worship. So that's also not possible to perform properly in the modern age. Unfortunately, you see these big temples, just like in Sri Rangam and everything. The way they were set up by Sri Ramanuja, that's not going on for a long time. Not possible. They don't have the manpower, they don't have the wealth. Actually, there's enough income, but the government loots it all. In the name of mismanagement, the government takes over all the temples and they mismanage it. But in Kali Yuga, we can chant the holy names. That is, there are so many statements in Shastra. You know them very well. Kalo, kale doshanite rajan asti hi eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vajit. Even though Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's one great quality that by chanting the names of Krishna, one can get free from all the bad influence of Kali Yuga and go to this supreme destination. So this is the best yajna. So Mahayagya, the name is similar to those which we've just been discussing. He who is the best among those to be worshipped, who manifests himself in the form of the best of yajnas, and he who is worshipped by great jnanis, knowledgeable people, he was worshipped through great sacrifices. So this is sacrifice. It means the idea to make an oblation to, that means a ritualistic yajna, to give, to offer, to associate with. So the topmost object, he is Mahayagya because he is the topmost person to be worshipped. There are yajnas for different demigods. But the topmost person to be worshipped is Vishnu. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Aradhananam Sarvesham. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Paratharam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Among all forms of worship, worship of Vishnu is best. But even better than that is worship of the paraphernalia of Vishnu, and is understood in this context especially the devotees of Vishnu. So that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? This is best, but there's something better than that. Well, in transcendence, there's best and better than best, or more best. That concept is not even there in the English language. Supreme, more supreme. Yeah. There's something Shamasunda Prabhu, my godbrother, pointed that out in mathematics. In sets of numbers, you can have infinite and more infinite. If you, for instance, if you think, okay, let's think of the numbers. 1, 4, 7, 10. So what's going on? Starting with number 1, you're skipping two numbers and then going to another. Skipping two numbers, going to another number. Skipping two numbers, going to another number. So you go on infinitely, and then the sum total of all those numbers is going to be less than the sum total of the numbers in between. 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9. So they're both infinite, but the sum total of one is going to be more than the other. Is it or isn't it? We can't accommodate infinity in our minds. But there's an example to show that something, at least theoretically, something can be infinitely great, and still there can be something which is infinitely greater than it. So why is the worship of the devotees more than the worship of Krishna? Well, because Krishna is the greatest, and he says that worship of my devotees is more than me. This is beyond mundane logic. Doesn't work here. Doesn't work. And then if you ask the devotees, they'll say, no, he's the greatest object of worship. So, what are you going to do? You have to call the court, the judge. The judge won't be able to say. What will the judge say? Then you have to go out of the box, so to speak. Something like at the Ekchakra village, where the Pandavas in exile, they were living with one Brahmana family. Then they saw all the Brahmana. They were all very upset. And one was saying, father was saying, no, I'll go. And then the mother said, no, I'll go. And then the boy said, because they had to give one member of the family for a sacrifice to the Rakshasa, monthly sacrifice. Every month one family had to give one member. So all the members of the family, they were saying, no, I'll go. And they said, no, I'll go. Who will decide? Then Kunti saw what's going on. She said, oh, I have 5 sons. I'll give one of my sons. No, you're our guest. No, it's all right. I'll give one of my sons. She had no anxiety. I'll send Bhim. So she sent Bhima Singh. He's on a cart with all the human sacrifice, with all the food, plus food had to be sent. So Bhima ate all the food as he's going along, because you can't send Bhim with food and expect the food to stay uneaten. So he goes along and then just burps, and then he reaches the Rakshasa's place, and that was the end of the Rakshasa, because Bhima killed him. He didn't become food for him. So, the ordinary decision won't work. It requires transcendental understanding, that's all. Transcendental understanding means that Vishnu and his devotees, Vishnu will always say, my devotees are better than me, and the devotees will always say, Vishnu is better than me. It goes on eternally, that's all. What's the solution? Logically, there's no solution. From our point of view as jivas, the solution is we bow our head down to Vishnu. That's all. No more discussion. That's all. That's what we do. We have to worship him. And if he wants to worship his devotees, we'll be very happy. But we don't consider it. We're not thinking, I'll worship him and he'll worship me. We don't think like that at all. But we become very glad when we see that Bhagavan, he elevates his devotees to the highest position. He himself glorifies them. So therefore, we find even in the introductory verses which come before Vishnu Sahasranam, Yudhishthira asks Bhishma, what is the best dharma among all dharmas? Dharma we follow for the sake of... Actually, we don't follow for the sake of anything. Is that right? Well, the understanding is that dharma is to be followed for its own sake, that's all. As Draupadi said to Yudhishthira one time in the forest, what's the use of all your dharma? You see, the Kauravas, they're living very happily in the city. We're exiled in the jungle. What's the use of all your dharma? We didn't get any wealth or happiness. We're just in... And Yudhishthira said, yeah, that's a very interesting observation you made, but actually it's atheistic. Because we don't follow dharma for the sake of getting something. We follow dharma because that's what we do. Dharma is to be followed for the sake of dharma, that's all. We don't think what we get from it. And that's not dharma. So, at the same time we expect that by following dharma we will get... It will be good for us and good for everyone else. We should do that. And Bhishma said that the best dharma is to think of Vishnu, to chant his names, to pray to him, devotion to him. This is the greatest dharma. So this is all within the explanation of Mahayagya. We generally think of yagya as ritualistic performance, some sacrifice, especially fire sacrifice, but a devotee who offers his life, like Bali Maharaj, he very dramatically offered his life, but we are supposed to do also. In the process of bhakti, there's Navavidha bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. So Atma Nivedanam, offering oneself, it's an ongoing process, moment by moment. So when we offer him flowers, when we chant his names, even for a devotee when he gets up in the morning and brushes his teeth, it's all part of the Atma Nivedanam process because he's maintaining his body for the sake of serving Vishnu, not for anything else. For a materialist, brushing his teeth is part of his endeavor to forget Vishnu or to enjoy this material world. So for a materialist, brushing his teeth it entangles him in the material world. Because everything he does entangles him in the material world. But for a devotee, everything he does is done for the sake of serving Vishnu. So it all becomes purifying. It's all part of the sacrifice of his life. And therefore he rises early in the morning. It may be very pleasing for the body to not rise early in the morning, but a devotee thinks that, well, Krishna, he gets up early in the morning. I'm his servant. I have to be up a little bit before, be ready to serve. Not that the master has to come and wake up the servant. And devotees, they sacrifice their life with the great faith and the happy faith that Krishna is accepting us. I'm offering flowers to him. Who am I to offer anything to him? But he says, Patrang pushpang palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatamana. If one offers me with bhakti, love and devotion, according to the prescribed process, even a leaf, flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So he may think, well, I don't have any bhakti, so how can I offer any flowers? But we're initiated into the process of bhakti. So we may say, I don't have any bhakti, but there must be something there. Otherwise, why are we even trying to do this? But the understanding is that in the offering of puja, when offering formal worship to the Lord, first comes guru puja. So the idea is that I'm not qualified, I'm a long way from Krishna, but anyway, the guru has instructed to do like this, and we offer not exactly to Vishnu, but standing in the shade of the lotus feet of our guru, who we have the confidence that he is in contact with Krishna, and he's in contact again through the whole parampara system, and maybe directly himself also. So that idea is there, that I'm not fit to worship Vishnu, but he's very kind, Lord Vishnu is very kind, and he allows us to worship him if we do so through the agency of his devotees. Therefore his devotees are more, worship of his devotees is more, because we can't go to Krishna except through his devotees. He won't accept. The Mahayagya, Yagyanam Japa Yagyosmi, Krishna says directly in Bhagavad Gita. Among all the yagyas, I am Japa Yagya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting meditatively the holy names, Krishna is very pleased with this. Now, in this series of names, the name Mahakratu has already been given. A kratu is a kind of sacrifice which is performed with a specific benefit in mind, and as distinguished from yagya, which is done, it's just like there's daily yagya. One has to perform yagya daily. It's just part of one's duty, as offering oneself to the Lord. So there's a difference. There are different kinds of yagyas. Bhuta yagya, that means we have to show our gratefulness to all living beings, even like cows and dogs, who perform some help for us in human society, even plants and trees. Pitriyagya, gratefulness to the forefathers by whose agency we have received this human birth, and who instruct us in the beginning, the mother and father, the first gurus. Narayagya, we're dependent on other humans for so many things. Rishi Yagya, we receive knowledge from the great learned personalities who have gone before us, so we're grateful to them. And the Deva Yagya, the various demigods, they give light, heat, water, and help the body to function properly. So we're indebted to them all. So we have to perform various yagyas to satisfy them. But then we have in Bhagavatam Devarshi, Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnang Pitrinang Nakinkaro Nayam Rani Charajan Sarvatmana Yah Sharanang Sharanya Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. One who is fully surrendered to Mukunda, he no longer has to perform all these ritualistic activities for the various personalities. You know, in this song by Narottam Das Thakur that Sri Rupa Echai Gosai Jamui Tarodas Tansabara Padarenu Mora Pancha Grass. The dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, that is my pancha grass. Pancha means five, and grass means morsel of food. So the idea is that before you take your food, you take five little pieces of rice and set it aside. So that's for the Devarshi, Bhutapta, and Rinam, for the five kinds of personalities. So Narottam Das says the dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and the other devotees, that is my pancha grass. In other words, by taking to the process of pure devotional service to Krishna, all other obligations are fulfilled, as stated in this verse, Devarshi Bhutapta. One who is fully surrendered to Mukunda has no more obligations. So that is the Mahayagya. All other yagyas are included in this offering ourselves fully to Krishna. Everything is Krishna. He covers up all debts. That we have so many debts, but Krishna, if we surrender to Him fully, all the debts to others are cleared. And that can be done. Another reason why japa is the Mahayagya, it's also very great. We may think, well, a really big yagya is when we get a big ceremony with so many brahmanas chanting and so much ghee offered in the fire. Well, that's maha, that's great in one way, but another way, chanting japa is great because it can be done so easily. In that way it's great. It means it's accessible to others. Krishna makes Himself available very easily. That's His greatness. That He makes Himself available very easily by chanting of His holy names. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in this regard, commenting on this name, says that Krishna likes the chanting of the holy names more than any other kind of sacrifice. We do have in our Gauriya Sampradaya offering this kind of fire sacrifice. It is there. It's given by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But personally, I don't think we should propagate it too much. Because Sarva Jagya Hoite Krishna Nama Jagya Sha, that's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that among all the yagyas, the essence of them all is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So that we can propagate that. That actually there's no need for all these sacrifices. And when Srila Prabhupada was installing Krishna Balaram deities in Vrindavan, he commented later in his sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, in his commentary, he said, we had all these Brahmins doing all these sacrifices and everything for installing the deities. That was just for the local people, because they will think, unless we do that, it's not a proper installation. But as far as I'm concerned, Srila Prabhupada said, that we had all the devotees non-stop chanting Sankirtan, and that was the medium by which Krishna and Balaram appeared. Advaita Acharya, by calling out the name of Krishna, he made Krishna appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the next name, 683, Mahahavi. So yogi means a sacrifice, and Havi, or Havir, means the oblation, the actual substance which is offered in the fire. So he who is worshipped with the best of oblation. What's the best thing we can offer? We can offer our hearts, our very selves. Then he who manifests himself in the form of the great offering, and there's one more meaning which I'll come to a little later. So generally that's thought that refers to ghee which is offered in the fire. It can be grains which are offered in the fire. But by extension, it can mean the person who's making the offering or the recipient of the offering. So he is worshipped by the best offerings because no one offers themselves selflessly to anyone but Vishnu. That's not even there in different kinds of demigod worship. The idea that you'll give yourself selflessly to a demigod, it's not there. It's just not there. Why should you do that? What's the point? If you give yourself selflessly to someone else, to a demigod, they can't help you. You might give yourself this idea of mundane romance, you give yourself selflessly to someone else, but what can you get out of that? Because the person, they're not unlimited, they can't protect you, they can't reciprocate fully with you. But if we, that goes all the way up to the demigods, but if we give ourselves fully to Krishna, then our eternal relationship with Krishna is reestablished. So actually all sacrifice should be to Vishnu only. You can offer animals, but that he doesn't like that. That animal sacrifice is allowed because we have the propensity to kill animals, not that he likes it. There may be different demigods who take that position to that they like blood and all this kind of thing. But generally, just like we find that in the story of Jarabharat, that the Kali appears and people they offer to Kali blood offerings up to human sacrifice. Jarabharat was to be a human sacrifice. But Kali herself, despite her ferocious features, Gaura Rupa, ferocious form, she doesn't accept that. But only the ghosts who are with her, Dakinis, and they will accept. So people think that if they offer a goat to Kali, they'll take Kali Prasad in the form of meat. But actually they're taking it's the prasad of the ghosts are with Kali. So it's very inauspicious, actually. So Krishna is not pleased with blood sacrifices, but he's sacrificed. If we give ourselves, our very being, to him, then he becomes very pleased with us. Even though we actually belong to him, so it's symbolic. Offering ourselves to him, it's symbolic because anyway we belong to him, but it's just a matter of acknowledging it. Keho mane, keho namane, shab tar das, jena mane tar hoy sarvanash. That everyone is his servant. Some people acknowledge that, and some don't. And those who don't, by that, jena mane she pape hoy sarvanash. Those who don't acknowledge it by that, failing to acknowledge that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, they become destroyed. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says that the best havi, the best oblation, he, the Supreme Lord, considers that the offering of obeisance by bowing down with devotion, he accepts that as the best kind of offering. And he gives the idea that all different ways, bowing down, studying Shastra, chanting the Vedas, offering tulsi leaves. He quotes again, Tulasi dalama trena jalasya chulukena cha vikrinite swam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. Krishna is very affectionate to his devotees, and he sells himself to a devotee who offers only just a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. And Krishna himself becomes very pleased with what the devotee offers with love. Again from Bhagavad Gita, aham kratvar aham yagyasvat aham aham aushadham mantra aham aham evajam aham agnir aham hutam. I am the kratu, the sacrifice, special form of sacrifice. I am the regular form of sacrifice. I am the offering, I am the offering to the forefathers. I am the aushadham, the medicine. I am the mantra. I am the ghee that's offered in the fire. Aham evajam, so that corresponds to havi. I am the fire. I am the hutam, that's the oblation. So we offer things to him, but everything comes from him. Everything is part and parcel of him. So it's symbolic offering to him. That is the understanding. Then again, brahma pranam brahma havihi. The havi, maha havi, the offering becomes spiritual when it's offered in the sense, with understanding that this, we're offering to the Supreme. When we offer it, we understand we're offering to Krishna, he is Supreme. So, brahmarpanam brahma havi, brahma agnau, brahmana hutam, brahma evatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. Everything becomes fully spiritual when we have a fully spiritual conception of offering. So the worship of a non-devotee, worshipping to a demigod with material motives, is not the same as that of a devotee who offers everything to Krishna with spiritual motives. It looks to be the same, but it's not the same. Very different. That's one reason why Srila Prabhupada, he didn't like to be identified with Hinduism. Sometimes he would say, culturally you could say it's the same thing. The whether you wear this kind of tilak or the three-line tilak of the Shaivas, whether you go to a Vishnu temple or a Shiva temple, from external vision it all looks pretty much the same. But there's very, very different understanding. What is everything done for demigods is actually not done for the demigods, it's done for one's own personal self. But in the worship of Vishnu, at the pure level, the highest level, it's all done for him. So there's a difference between an ordinary offering of yajna and and that which is done actually with love for Krishna. It's a very, very different proposition. So Hare Krishna, that's the end of that verse. Any question about this?
This Vishnu Sahasrana, various names are coming by this. This form also different or only bhavas?
Vishnu Sahasrana, various names are there. The form is different, what do you mean? Oh, is there a different form? No, it's not that there. It's not that there's. Ah, I see the question. Just like we have the Dashavata. Who do we have? Mean, fish, kurma, the tortoise, then the varaha, the hog form, and the Narasimha. No, it's not that there's a different form, but the names correspond, they all correspond to Vishnu. Some of the commentators, especially Parashara Bhatta, no, not only him, they see certain names in relation to some particular form. Parashara Bhatta says these names of this set of names is in one verse, some names one after another, this will refer to Rama, these names refer to Parashurama, these names we were just going through Baladev Vidyabhushan saying these names refer to Krishna in the pastime of Muchukunda. So that is there, but it's not that there's one avatar called Mahayagya, one who's called Mahahavihi, not like that. No. All Vishnu, that's actually an important principle in the Madhva Sampradaya. They say that there's no higher or lower form of Vishnu, just like we say Krishna is supreme. No, there's no such thing. They're all on the same level, they say. And definitely, some names like Trivikrama, three big steps. Well, who does that refer to? It refers to Vamana especially. But that Vamana is non-different from Vishnu. But that name Trivikram can also be understood to mean, have other meanings which don't specifically refer to Vamana. So it's not that there's a specific form of the Lord who's called Mahayagya, one who's called Mahahavihi, not like that. That's interesting. I never thought of that before. I think that that question doesn't come up in the commentaries at all, because it's understood from the beginning that Vishnu is, there are 1,000 names of one person who manifests himself in many forms.
The name is Vishnu
Sahasranam. Yeah, Vishnu Sahasranam, that's very good, yeah. The names of Vishnu. One of the names of in the Vishnu Sahasranam is Vishnu. Vishvam, Vishva, Vishnu, Vashatkara. There's so many names. Yeah, so their names. So if you say Vishnu Sahasrara, that means that Vishnu is taken as the central name. That name covers all other names, because he's all pervading, covers everything. But we'd go a little further and say, well, Krishna. Krishna, that's the best name, the best all-encompassing name, because that means he who's all attractive. But then we may say even Krishna means attractive to everyone, but then we have another name, Radhika Ramana. We especially want to see who is the pleasure of Radhika. He's for everyone, but we especially want to see as the attract, who's pleasure with Radhika. So like this, and the Vaishnavas, they may have their friendly, loving quarrels among themselves as to which is the best name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Parivadatu jano yatatatava nano mokaro navayam vicharayamaha. Hare rasa madira madati mata Bhuvi vilutama, natama, nirvishama, dante nidhaya chunakang padayani patya kritva chakaku shatameta daham ravimi. He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad, chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu radam, vancha kalpaturubhyas chakripa sindhu vishapaditanam kavane bhyo, Vaishnava bhyo namo namaha. Did you learn anything? Probably not. Doesn't matter. You can just, we're just discussing. That's all. Learned anything? You learned something. What did you learn?
So this forms, I always, when I used to think, you know, there will be some form, I used to meditate, you know, sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, this will be, you know, some deity which I don't know about or some pastime.
Oh, that's a good question then. Hare Krishna. So that's one more shlokam finished. Discussed. 683. 327 to go. Just over 2/3. So you've got the real farm look, huh? The dirty dhoti. It's all right. It's fine. Fine.
Whatever dhoti I wear, it gets.
Yeah, yeah. Dirty dhoti, and then the little. Time to time we can shave. Oh, I shave my. After 2 weeks or something.
Every day we think we have to shave, but sometimes somehow there is no time to shave because it takes 1.5-2 hours, so there is no time.
1.5 to 2 hours to shave?
Yeah, because you have to come, you know, find someone to shave, then.
Oh, for the head, you mean?
For head.
Uh-huh. Bath, taking bath and all. Uh-huh. Also, you don't think about it, because in the city, there's these, you go in this big mirror in the bathroom. You don't even know, actually. You just put your tilak on and you just see this part. You don't see this part. And what does it matter living on the farm anyway? It's not like you're going to work in some big corporation. Anyway, I generally shave at least twice a month. Whatever. Actually, finding someone to shave, then we have to have the village barber, who has his schedule. He comes around once a month for everyone.
We need to have time for the barber once a
month. Yeah. And the barber's wife, she comes around and cuts the nails of the women. She has a job to do. Who's going to cut their nails? Can't be the barber cuts the man's nails, the barber's wife cuts the nails of the women.
That I didn't find, but the barber wife will do this delivery cases and cleaning the house.
They also act as the dai. They may do that, but that all culture is gone now. It's even illegal for them to do that.
We all fall like that in the village.
In the village, yeah.
There are no time, the hospitals, nurses, culture.